Yeah, once Srila Prabhupada said, never trust a guru who doesn't dance, and I like that. A very sublime and transcendental statement. Obviously, Krishna consciousness is joyful and is a matter of the heart. Although it is not sentimental and there is deep transcendental knowledge, but ultimately that knowledge is realized and that knowledge therefore manifests in the heart. And therefore, in the end, even great scholars were dancing or engaged in water fights. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, such learned scholars, and yet they were like engaged in a water fight like children, and they lost all their kind of, you know, their respectability. How could they act like this? But on the transcendental plane, such things will happen in joyful play. Prabhupada danced so many occasions, but the most important statement about Prabhupada's dancing is not his dancing in the Avalon ballroom, you know, in the San Francisco concert, nor is it in London in the famous Ratha Yatra, where Prabhupada ran up and down in love and ecstasy. The real dancing that Prabhupada did, he described in Markine Bhagavad Dharma when the Jaladuta had just landed in New York and Prabhupada just began to write about how he was just a kattiraputali, a puppet, a wooden doll, a marionette, just a puppet on strings, and make me dance, oh my Lord, make me dance, nacho, nacho, ami amara nachate. And Prabhupada, in other words, to become the willing instrument of Krishna in Krishna's hands, as Krishna desires it. And there, Prabhupada really danced, here and there and everywhere. And then the amazing thing that happened is that not just being a puppet, but the puppet itself turned into a puppeteer. And subsequently, so many puppets danced in the hands of that puppeteer. And Prabhupada made so many men dance according to his will. He made them go to remote places. He made them really do something very substantial. That was Prabhupada. He was a general, undoubtedly, driving a mission to go forward, to conquer the world. There was no doubt about that. Prabhupada said he had no problem. He said, but one problem, that he couldn't think small. And that was a fact. He never could think small, would always think big, so big that he would blow the mind of all. There's no one who does not feel that Prabhupada's big thinking exceeds anything that they ever thought, or anything we ever thought. That is a fact. But that is Guru. He has a greater vision about our life than we have ourselves. He wants something greater from us than what we would do on our own. Therefore, Guru is always challenging. He's challenging us. Challenging us to do more, to go beyond our limits. Of course, there's also maintaining, you know, that also is something. Because the weight of time is the biggest weight of all. Right? Over time, to maintain standards of purity, that requires a very great effort. In fact, it requires more and more. In the material world, in the beginning, it's difficult, and then you become more and more expert. But in spiritual life, it's we realize over time that we more and more depend on Krishna and on His mercy, and that we have to make endeavors for it, and that we have to go deeper into our remembrance, into our meditation. We can no longer just mechanically chant. We can no longer just mechanically go through a ritual. No, we need to actually reach out now to Krishna. We need to actually reach out to our spiritual master and deepen our relationship. So somehow or other, in spiritual life, a greater and greater commitment is required over time to maintain our standards of purity, and it just drives us forward on the transcendental path. Deeper absorption is needed. I was reading a quote which I liked from the German philosopher Goethe, and he said that when an old man has to do more than a young man, and it sort of like was interesting, man, because again, you would think the other way around. You think, take a step back now. That's no. An old man has to do more than a young man because he's running out of time. So he can't play around anymore. He has to really do something. And if anybody lived that, it was Prabhupada, right? Exactly. An old man has to do more than a young man. He did. He did. In his old age, he brought it all together, the fruits of a lifetime, because that an old man can do. What can a young man do in that regards? He can try so many things. He can run around here and there, but he doesn't have access to so many things. But after a lifetime, one has access to so many things, and therefore knowledge of Krishna consciousness also comes down to real life, because real life experience tells us how to apply this knowledge. No longer just a lesson learned by heart, but a lesson learned by life, and therefore deep. We understand now Krishna. This material world is a temporary domain, and it's the eternal world that really counts. Just like, well, sometimes you see the Chinese karate movies, right? Not that I'm watching those things directly, but say on a plane or something, and you see the young guys, they are doing all the big movements, but sometimes the very old master comes out, right, and he's sort of half crooked, doesn't really move much, but in one movement, right, all the chi and the enemies fly in all directions, right? Something like that, the concentrated effort, the concentrated Krishna consciousness, all that experience from a lifetime, all that surrender, actually all comes together. I used to think that, oh, why do I have to manage and deal with this difficult material energy I'd rather study the scripture. But then I found that from all that management, I gained so much. Because management is about sacrifice. Because the material energy is difficult. So you're supposed to manage the material energy, and the material energy is such that it can create all kinds of perplexing situations. Right? Things can happen that you just, you know, that are no longer logical. But that is only our little perception of what we know. In Krishna's greater plan, anything is possible. Anything can happen. So, like that, we are not in control. Krishna's in control. Srila Prabhupada, therefore, an old man who did so many things. Yes, he pulled it all together, everything. He knew where to find all the information, and whatever he got from the Gaudiya Math, from various sources, experiences, it all came together. And that made him most wonderful, because you know, we can glorify Srila Prabhupada for being the special acharya, more than a spiritual master. We can glorify him for being specially empowered by Krishna to do a mission which happens only once in a day of Brahma. Because once in a day of Brahma, Lord Krishna appears in the Dwapara Yuga. Once in a day of Brahma, Lord Chaitanya appears after that in the Kali Yuga. And then the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is taken from east to west. And that's done once in a day of Brahma. Then you get like the golden age all over the world. So Prabhupada did that. He took this knowledge from east to west, not just artificially, but by thoroughly establishing it, not just by giving some lectures. But he brought it from east to west by planting it into people's hearts and making a change, making a real change. Not everyone maintained everything he gave. Some fell back, but whatever happened, they could never leave Prabhupada. That they could not do. They could never forget. They could never leave Krishna consciousness. Some maintained faithfully. Those were the glorious ones. Those were the fortunate ones. Because those who carefully and faithfully carry on, they are surely going back to Godhead. Tatenu kampam susamiksamano bunjana evatmakritam vipagam. Ritvakvapurde yuvidadam namaste yamuktipade sadayabak. It is said those who just tolerate the difficulties, the pushings of the senses, the temptations of the material energy, the difficulties that come on the path and that create like truly impossible situations, tatenu kampam susamiksamana, one who just faithfully endure, they become Dayabak, the rightful heir to the mercy of the Lord, and they go back to Godhead. So the faithful ones, that is what we must be. That is something one must contemplate. One must also appreciate that we are alone, alone with Krishna, alone, Prabhupada had, alone with the spiritual master. Prabhupada had so many disciples, so many. But each one had his own relationship, and each one had his own responsibility, and each one had his own opportunity. And always, again and again, even if it went wrong, still there's an opportunity to reconnect and rectify. Prabhupada was liberal. He said, one time, first time I will forgive you. Second time, I will forgive you. Third time, I'll say, get out of here, you rascal. But then, did he do it? We know that story, how Gaga Muni was struggling and falling back in some old habits and smoking substances that are not to be smoked. And in Calcutta, while he was in charge, and Prabhupada had his secretary call him, which was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Prabhupada was in the room. And Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, tell him that he must stop it. Prabhupada says, you must stop it. Yes. Tell him that if he doesn't stop it, that I will reject him. Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, you know, if you don't stop it, Prabhupada says, he will reject you. And that was it. End of the conversation. Ended on a heavy note. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, as he put the horn down, turned to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, would you really reject him? Prabhupada said, of course not. I just said that to scare him. That was Prabhupada. Not one to reject one. One cannot not come to the Western world and half accept people. Prabhupada knew very well that he was not dealing with the world of Dharma. He knew very well that that it would be a struggle. But he was ready to do so. Meeting Srila Prabhupada is ultimately not just about a physical meeting, but is about a meeting in the heart, a meeting of making a commitment and say, yes, this life, I will simply follow you. And that is what we are doing. Our present spiritual masters. Our servants of Srila Prabhupada. And different now. Maintaining Prabhupada's institution. It's different now. A little less adventurous, maybe, in conquering the world where so many, everyone, you know, it's just still here and there, like we have World Sankirtan Party, but how many men? But there was a time when everyone, every single devotee was a missionary, every devotee, in our movement, practically speaking. And that created an incredible energy, very, very strong energy. And then everybody just did things that were very difficult, but they did, because everyone did. I was sent into the hospitals to distribute books. I didn't want to, but that was just what, that was the plan, right? And we would go during the visiting hour, and one would stand on a chair with the Bhagavad Gita and make a speech and ask people to give a donation, and the other one would go around and hand out the books and collect the money. And then we'd go to the next ward until the icy voice of the nurse, you know, like, "What are you doing here?" And then you'd have to, like, be totally cool and just go, like, "Huh? What do you mean? You know what I mean? It's like the charity action, you know? Like, today's Thursday, you know? Right? I mean, you know, it's Thursday, 21st, right? It's like, you know, it's the action today, remember?" And because we were so convinced, the nurse think, "Well, I mean, geez, must be all right. Maybe I don't know about it, you know what I mean? Something seems to be happening today." And she'd go away. And we try to slip out the door, you know. But sometimes, it wasn't always like that. Sometimes she would block the door, and oh God. I almost became a patient in the hospital, you know, just like blood pressure, heart attack. But we would do things like that for the sake of somehow or other pushing on this movement. We didn't just stay in our temples and say, "It's difficult, you know. People are just not interested in Krishna consciousness. I don't know. The times have changed. People are so materialistic now. They really, like, you know, they're just not interested anymore." Yeah, well, you know, in the past we never gave them a chance, you know, interested or not interested. It's just somehow or other. I know you're not interested, but take the book anyway, you know. That's okay. There's nothing, just take it. There's nothing to be, you know. So that missionary spirit is what Prabhupada ignited, because he had that spirit. Now we are, you know, in many countries, we are now registered, you know, a registered religion. Like in the Netherlands, where I'm from, we are a church, you know, officially, we are a church, registered church. I kind of liked it when we were an underground movement, I must say, instead of a church. Yeah. It was revolutionary, it was on the street, it was sort of about, the street was our domain, and in the street we could approach anybody, right, without any consideration. Anyone was a candidate. We didn't have to target particular people, right? In fact, they would tell us, "Don't do that, right? This is not the right spirit in book distribution." So, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, no distinction, anyone or everyone. Therefore, you know, you just turn, and whoever is in front of you, boom, you give them the book, you know, and you don't judge, right? And in this way, you distribute. So that spirit was exciting. And Prabhupada wanted big things. Of course, book distribution was big. So many festivals were big. The Bombay Maidan was big. And the biggest, and still going on, is Sri Damayapur. Is that big? The temple, the city, it's enormous. And it will only, it will require everyone to to do something. If we want to do something for Mayapur, that big temple, actually to finish it in time, that means in 6 years from now, they need $1 million a month, which is a lot of money, kind of, which they don't have. If they get half of that money, then it will take 12 years, but the price will increase many times. And then you get the race between fundraising and inflation. And let's see who will win the race. Hmm. So it's a great challenge. Wow. That's just something Prabhupada left us. Make a temple in Mayapur, the biggest temple. You know, there's no end. So many challenges. But I remember a Vyasa Puja offering from Burijan. Burijan, who is like a senior disciple of Prabhupada since he joined in 1968. And then Burijan, about 40 years later, wrote an offering for Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And in the offering he wrote, "I don't really have anything to report. I didn't really do anything extraordinary this year. I didn't distribute many books. I didn't do anything extraordinary. The only thing I can say is that I'm still here." So that was, I liked that offering because it made a deep point, you know. 40 years, still here. And that is something, and now of course there are many who even have been more than 40 years still here. And then, yeah, if we're still here, that makes all the difference. So at the end of the day, we can try and convince the world, but are we ourselves convinced? We have to be convinced. We have to really dedicate ourselves and to give everything we have. It has to come to that. Yeah. We can take some time, no problem. There's no pressure, little, but there's also patience. You know, it's not that it's a burnout program where everyone has to push himself beyond the limits, but how long are we going to drag our feet? Few more gray hairs, still dragging the feet. And how many years do we have anyway? Gee, what guarantee do we have that we're going to get old? So how long can we postpone? On and on, postpone and postpone. This is not a pep talk, so this is not for you, or not any more for you than for me. It's for me also. How long can I postpone? Yeah, so many things I'm postponing. How long can I postpone? I have books I want to finish, and I always find a reason why I can't do it. Too busy, too tired, health, this, that. Always reasons not to finish. And I'm just thinking, yeah, but Prabhupada just focused, man. He just focused. He just, so, if we focus, it will be done. And if we focus, so many things will be done. Yeah, if you really focus, then I think so many things become possible. Yeah. So when will we focus? Those kind of thoughts I have, and I think, yeah. But I also want some happiness in this world. All right, have some happiness in this world. But understand that it's going to be some, you know. Have a piece of cake, and, you know, with lots of cream, and it's tasty. But then afterwards you have to deal with the thing, you know. Once you've swallowed it, right, then the fun is over, you know. Right? That's the cake. You know, once it's passed the tongue, right, then the fun of the cake is over, then the other part of the cake starts, you know. It sits there. It blows up in the stomach like a sponge, you know. Oh, that was a heavy cake. Heavy cake. Oh God, how many heavy cakes are we gonna, is it gonna take? Right? Yeah? How many, so, how much enjoyment? Have some, but it's over in a snap. Right? I want some love. Okay, have some love in the world. Love, 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 and then, yeah, then it gets down to business. You know, it's not only love. This is also bills. There's also, you know, duty. There's also responsibility. There's also maintenance and taking care and just when you don't want to and don't, when it's not romantic at all, when it's just so. Fine, have all these things, but when are we going to focus on Krishna, on going back to Godhead and make it the priority? That is the question. That is the question. These kind of thoughts are the thoughts that Prabhupada left us with. And now I'm thinking about that, you know. Tomorrow is my birthday. I'll celebrate it in Durban. What to do? Cape Town's too small for, you know, for that. It's nice, but, you know, can't. So that's why I start thinking about it. An old man has to do more than a young man, you know. That's how the thought came to my mind. And Prabhupada did it. He did it. So that's our challenge. And maybe he's older than me, and that's why I'm going to give him the microphone. Someone has to move it there.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking about some of the things Maharaj mentioned. We were just watching this DVD following Srila Prabhupada, and there's a section where just Jiva Maharaj is relating what happened in 1976. And at the time, there had been some incident in Mayapur and during the meetings there, and Srila Prabhupada had directed Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Well, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had said, well, maybe I should just go to China. And Prabhupada said, yes. Go to China. So he was preparing to go. Just Jumna Prabhu, his father was one of the big guys at Seagram's Liquor Company, which is the largest liquor company in the world. And they were driving Srila Prabhupada to the new temple, and Seagram's building was the first all-class skyscraper. So one devotee pointed out to Srila Prabhupada, oh, there's where Drishtadyumna Prabhu's father works. Seagram's, it's the largest liquor company in the world. And Prabhupada said, liquor? Hiranyakashipu. But his son is like Prahlad. So he was wearing, got on to, they were preparing to go to China. And his father arranged them some IDs for spiritual sky incense, and they were going to China, and this was before Mao Zedong, this is what they called the Group of Four, which were some heavy duties. And they were just killing everybody. It's like Tiananmen Square and all that. So they bought suits and they were growing their hair. And on the way to Hong Kong, they stopped off in Hawaii, where Srila Prabhupada was staying and translating the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was saying that two things happened. One thing was that Srila Prabhupada decided that they shouldn't go to China. He was considering that for all the trouble to get there, with such repression going on, they wouldn't be able to preach for all that trouble. So he said that they should go back to their parties. They were both traveling in buses. Radha Damodar had 10 or so buses, big, like these tourist coaches you see running up and down the motorways. And they were complete with a temple, kitchen, and the devotees traveled in those buses, maybe 15, 20 devotees. And they were extremely mobile. They could go anywhere. And they could distribute books and preach. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned, and that one leader, he had left. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned that I have not actually given you sannyas. He said that I'm in a battle with the material energy. I'm in a battle with Maya. And I need leaders. So he said it is what they call battlefield commission. So there's no leaders. They're all privates. But he said, every fifth one, now you're a lieutenant. Lieutenant. They're still privates. But Prabhupada said, I need someone to lead the charge. To lead the charge. And he also said that you do not have sufficient training. But he went on to say that he needed leaders. So just to hear Maharaj Prabhu, he was saying that he was young then. He said, we didn't know much, but we were enthusiastic. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada required that enthusiasm, that willingness to go anywhere. Mars was saying, talking about Burijan Prabhu. Burijan Prabhu was initiated. And Srila Prabhupada sent him to Hong Kong, like by himself, actually. Srila Prabhupada was so keen on spreading Krishna consciousness. He was, by any means, what 70-year-old man travels around the world twice in a year? Who does that? How many people? How many 70-year-old, 80-year-old people travel around the world twice in a year just to encourage me, just to encourage his disciples and spread Krishna consciousness? So that was Srila Prabhupada's determination. Like that. So it's, to a certain degree, it's not the same anymore. But actually, we still are in a fight with Maya. And most of the fight for most of us is within ourselves. It's we're fighting to maintain a Krishna conscious attitude. We're fighting to maintain a willingness to to help in whatever way we can to maintain, at least, Srila Prabhupada said, maintain what I've given. So that's important. There's the creative part is not so visible as it once was. In some parts of the world it is. But the maintenance part is not, it's actually the most difficult part. Destroying things is easy. It's easy to destroy somebody's faith and destroy somebody's enthusiasm. It's not so easy to maintain that and to give a person who doesn't understand or doesn't know some glimpse at what is awaiting them in their spiritual journey. So this following Srila Prabhupada, there's unlimited occasions of where different devotees have had an experience and an event practically that has maintained them and encouraged them for years and years and years. That's an amazing thing. And Srila Prabhupada is the most amazing person. There are different instances where devotees were. Srila Prabhupada was on the Rath Yatra cart, and this devotee was thinking, oh, I'm so useless, I'm not doing anything. And practically from 100 yards away, Srila Prabhupada is staring at them and communicating with them. That he can hear their prayers, he can hear their understandings, and communicate with them. That is not so easy. That is beyond cell phone technology. That someone can communicate to you without a direct a link like that. I need something. But how do I communicate to someone what is required? But on the spiritual platform, Srila Prabhupada was doing that. He was communicating what was required to spread Krishna consciousness. And those who were willing to do it, to do something, who took the opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada, most imperfectly even, but because of Srila Prabhupada's desire, they were utilized. As Arjuna also was instructed by Lord Krishna, that you just become the instrument. So that for most of us, that is our instruction. Just become an instrument in our spiritual masters, in Srila Prabhupada's, in ISKCON's, the ISKCON movement to maintain and spread Krishna consciousness. We had the initiation ceremony a few days ago, and it's amazing when you think of it, that everybody in this material world is crazy for sex, intoxication. There's a whole food channel that talks about cooking meat and lamb, eggs, and everything. There's so much information given about gambling and all kinds of different types of speculations. So it's so rife, actually, this material world with those tendencies. And to find people that will vow, they'll vow to give those things up for their whole life. That's incredible. And with each practically initiation ceremony, the knife is going deeper into Kali's heart, practically. Because because that is solid progress in spreading Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned also nectar devotion, that there's no question of spreading Krishna consciousness without increasing the number of disciples. You can't do it without that. You can't, love and marriage, horse and carriage, like that. You can't spread Krishna consciousness without increasing the number of disciples. So that's every initiation ceremony is a landmark event, individually and collectively, that Krishna consciousness is being spread. So it's not as maybe glamorous or glorious as it appeared to be previously, but within our hearts and within our communities, that Krishna consciousness is being established, that is wonderful, that is glorious, actually. It may take us more years of chanting Hare Krishna to realize, but the fact is that it's a wonderful opportunity, it's a wonderful occasion to be considered. Hare Krishna. So I don't know if anyone has any questions for Maharaj.
The same transcendental opportunity is there for every individual. Yeah, it's when the movement was young, it looked and everyone was young, and then no one was married. Everyone was unmarried and, 20 years old, full of energy. And so it was undoubtedly a special time where a lot of energy was bundled. Prabhupada was there. And even after, it just went on. Now there's so much diversity. It's like but then there was the youthful enthusiasm, but there was maybe lacking of wisdom, lacking of so many other more mature qualities which we have now. So I think it's still going on on equal strength, because the same opportunity is there for anybody now than it was then. No difference. In that way, same movement, same chance to go back to the spiritual world.
So, Shamananda. So, in the mood of the discussion, because you pointed out we're a small country, so what would you say is the pressing need here? What do we need to do? What do we need to focus on?
In a small temple? Well, I think so. I think in the mood of the discussion, we can, it's a small temple, it's a temple with predominantly congregational devotees. That means who are maintaining a life outside and who have limited time and energy, yeah. So, but I think we should just appreciate the time spent together and maintain relationships. Because especially in a congregational gathering, we need, more than ever, we need friendship. It's like if you have a little military army living in a temple, all on a mission, even if there's no such friendship, still we're all together in the same mission, But when you don't have that kind of driving energy, then the only reason to come together is really like friendship. If we're, so that's a big challenge, right? But I think that's the key to like we're here tonight, you know, and yeah, that's very nice sometimes in your house or in anybody's house, you know, like, and that's how it should be, you know. If the devotees haven't been in your house for a while, then start thinking about it when you know, you can arrange for them to come. Even if your house is small, doesn't matter. Squeeze in somehow or other. Because that bonding, yeah, is important. So we need to stay close, yeah, somehow or other. And in a congregational setting, that's a big element, friendship. Just that you want to be with people. You know, the people, you know, if you don't really want to be with them, you're not going to be with them. Yeah. It's like in the temple, you know, whether we want to be together or not, we have to be for Mangala Arati, you know. So, but, you know, in a congregation, if you don't want to be together, why would you be? You only go to programs you want to. So friendship. In friendship, yes, in friendship, you have to conquer people. You have to do something to win them over. You have to do something that touches their hearts. Then you have real friendship. So friendship can never be taken for granted, and it's not cheap, but that's what we need. What do you think about that? Anything else? Otherwise we'll just chant a few more minutes. And I guess, you know, you can say big things about friendship, and you can make it also very simple. And one way very simple is to not give each other a hard time, you know, sort of make it easy for each other. And that counts for everybody, even at home, you know, friendship begins at home, right? You know, if we just sort of try and make it easy for each other, that would help.
Ramosh, doesn't that defeat the high-thinking ideal? High-thinking society ideal?
Depends what you call easy, you know. Like, I mean, don't... I didn't mean that we should lose the purity, but we should accommodate each other a lot and be sensitive to each other's needs. That's what I meant. Making it easy for each other means, you know, we should think of everybody's needs, not just our own, and then that creates friendship, and we start to think of others' needs. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. A little kirtan, and then little person.